Turn your Bibles, if you will, to Mark 4, and we're going to start reading at verse 1. And while you're turning there, I'm going to go back and kind of recap a few statements that I said on last Sunday. Is that praise and worship provides the opportunity for the power that is in the seed to be released and bring to pass what is on the package. How many of y'all remember my tomato package seed, my package of seeds? Hallelujah. Now, we're going to talk about this a little bit more today. Glory to God. Then I said, your praise and worship keep the airway free so you can receive. So it's important that we don't let our praise and worship slip. Why? Our harvest is dependent on it. And then I said, your praise and worship is a weapon. It travels through the spiritual atmosphere and creates a path for what you are believing for to reach you. The cycle must be completed to get a successful harvest. And we want the harvest, amen? All right. That's what we're after. Then I made mention that you should get a new attitude about praise and worship. You shouldn't come to church expecting somebody to rev your engine. You should come revved up. Because you've been doing what? Praise and worshiping all week. You bring joy with you. Because why? You know you got what you're believing for. You're just waiting on it to manifest. Hallelujah. Are you at Mark 4? Hallelujah. Look at verse 1. And he began talking about Jesus to teach by the seaside. And there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea, and the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. And he taught them many things by parables, and said unto them in his doctrine, hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth. And immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And other fell on good ground and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased and brought forth some 30 and some 60 and some 100. And he said unto them, he that have ears to hear, let him hear. Then, of course, you see where the disciples pull him aside. And they said, well, can't you explain that to us? And then he made mention to them. He says, if you can't understand this parable, you're not going to understand anything else that I say. So it's important we understand this parable. Amen. Look at Matthew 5:6. We're gonna go back to Mark 4 in just a little bit, but turn to Matthew 5:6. When you have it, say, I have it. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. So there's a hunger and a thirst after righteousness that precedes planting. In other words, the person that hungers and thirsts after God's way of doing everything, that person has been promised to be filled with God's way of doing everything. And only that person has been promised the answer. Not the person who choose not to be hungry. Not the person who choose not to be thirsty for his way of doing it. Whoa, we getting close to home now. Come on, buckle up. You're going to be all right. So then we can say that planting and rooting the word is based on our hunger for the things of God. You know, I was telling y'all last week how I had a desire for fried chicken. I don't eat it often, But when I want it, I want it. So Mary came to see me on Thursday, and she brought me some fresh chicken wings from the butcher. And I cleaned them, and I said, I don't feel like cooking them. I said, you know, I'm just going to put them in the freezer. Mary said, why don't you go ahead and cook them? You know you want them. And so she went on and left my house and went home. And then she had got me some fried rice. You know, I like the vegetable fried rice. And I'd send her a picture of the plate of my fried chicken wings and the fried rice. And I had a good meal. That was my bread. Hey, don't come after me. It was so good. I ate all three wings. I didn't cook but three. And I ate all three wings. Because what? It was what I hungered for. Now, I may not eat fried chicken again for quite a while, but I hungered for it. And when I got it, I was satisfied. Oh, Jesus. So hunger and thirst must precede planting. You got to desire a harvest. Not just want something to happen to you. You must desire a harvest. I said, not just want something to happen to you. Remember I told you we got to get out of that generality that we live in and just, you know, basically. No, you got to become specific because your hunger is going to drive you for a specific thing. Ooh, Jesus. So then all of our planting and rooting of the word is based on our hunger for the things of God. You believe it for money, then there must be a hunger for God's way of doing it. Because that's the only way you're going to plant the word. Otherwise, you're going to keep trying to nibble and taste and never get a harvest. And you think because you have eaten a little bit of it, that should bring the harvest. Not going to work. Turn to Romans 10. Because you got to understand something. This whole lifestyle is a cycle that God has set up to ensure our prosperity, our well-being, our deliverance, our victory in every area of our lives. It's not difficult when you understand, when you get hungry for the things of God. You see the whole chain of events and how they flow. And one don't exist without the other. See, that's why the cycle has to be completed. Romans 10, look at verse 14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How you gonna call on somebody you don't believe yet? And no expectation in that. There is no expectation. Now, just because you said the name of Jesus does not move a mountain in your life, because you got to believe first. Oh, and how shall they believe in him on whom they have not heard? So there's got to be a hearing about your situation. And here's how it's done. And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they've been sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. So then, look at verse 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So now the sower sows the word, and how can the sower know what to plant without a preacher preaching on planting and rooting? So that means you got to be in a special environment to hear what to plant. This is why you can't take the word you're hearing today and shuffle it amongst a whole lot of stuff and put it under the rug and put it on the shelf and wait. You know, if you plan on having a harvest next year, you need to plant now. You need to take the word you're hearing and start planting it so it can get some roots. Because you're trying to get a harvest. And how many of you know the harvest doesn't show overnight? Okay. So you got to hear the word. You got to be in an environment where the preacher is teaching the message you need to hear to plant. And how can that preacher teach that message unless he or she has been sent by God to teach it? So everybody can't teach it just because they stand in his office. Because they may not have been sent. They might have been went because they went to college. You need to know the difference. It's kind of like when you hear, it's like when you sit in the environment that's right for you, it's like it registers. It'll bear witness with you. Yes, it will. It'll register on you. This is what I need. Even if you're not ready, you say, this is what I need. And you can hear it in the dosage and in the manner that is palatable for you. A lot of people stay in places because it's familiar, but they're malnutrition because they're not being fed what they need. They stay in places out of familiarity, and they're actually starving themselves to death because they're in the wrong place to hear what they need to hear for them to develop. Now, maybe that environment right for somebody else, but it may not be right for you. And every now and then, you get a sensing, a stirring. Those online, listen to me, you get a stirring in you, especially if you pray at all, that I'm just not satisfied here, and it keeps coming up. That's because the environment you're in is not feeding you what you need to develop roots. So it does matter where you plant you. Oh, Jesus. Look at Ephesians 3. I'm going to show you something that this church probably already have heard it. But if not, you'll hear it again. And this repeat is always good. Always good. Nothing wrong with repeating. Ephesians 3, look at verse 17. This is Apostle Paul teaching us how to pray for the body of Christ. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by what? Faith. That ye, being rooted. Oh, so if you're not rooted in a local congregation, no wonder you can't grow roots of the stuff you're trying to put in the ground of you. You're not planted yet. He says that you being, he's not talking about what you're going to bring forth. You be rooted and grounded in what? Love. So being rooted and grounded is not an option. It's an act of obedience. So I must commit and become rooted and grounded where I believe God has placed me. I can't keep coming and quizzing and acting like I'm a guest. Because no roots grow with the guests. They're here temporary. You know, a lot of people live that way. They live out of bags in their house as though they're living in a temporary dwelling. And they never fix their house up. I've gone places like that where they never fix it up. They always look, and they can live there for years, and they always look like they're getting ready to move. Maybe none of y'all have experienced that. But over the 30 years of being a pastor, I've gone places that look like that. And they've been in a house for the last 20 years. And it still look like they're going to move out. No pictures on the wall. No curtains to the window. The furniture look like they're getting ready to move. Nothing looks like they're rooted and grounded. No place looks like their home. This is where you draw your nutrients from your environment. So if you're in a church and you don't feel like you are home, Now, you might be there for the first day, and you say, well, I'm just, because, you know, I met a lady recently that told me she's got a ministry going, but she doesn't belong to a church yet. She visited. Now, it's a lot of people that believe like her. Now, how you going to start a ministry, but you can't submit to nobody? You can't go and get rooted and grounded in another man's vision first and help bring that vision to pass. But you believe the Lord and told you to start. And it's always women. See, the Bible talks about women, the silly women, that's always forever learning something, but never ever coming to the truth. And people pray on them because they know they're hungry for stuff. Women are gossipers. And women like to hear things that they feel that nobody else know yet. But it traps them. Because if you're rooted and grounded in a local church, it's difficult to be ensnared. He says, look at verse 18, that you may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power, said the power, that worketh in us. We're going to come back and address that scripture, because there is a power that the scripture is talking about, but it's only released to those that are rooted and grounded. Look at Colossians chapter 1, verse 23. I know you're learning this morning because I'm still learning. Colossians 1, verse 23. And I'm going to read this from the Amplified Version. And he will do this if, say if, you continue in the faith, well grounded and steadfast and not shifting away from the confident hope that is a result of the gospel that you have heard, which was proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which gospel I, Pastor Diana, was made a minister. Oh, it says Paul, but I'm the minister today. He says, if you become well grounded and steadfast and you're not shifting, if you're constantly moving, how does the word get an opportunity to root? Because you get offended because it don't sound like what you want to hear today. Man, nobody's going to teach everything you like unless you go home and start your own ministry and stay in your house. Then you can say everything you like. Doesn't mean it's going to work for you, but you can say it. So you might want to write down, you must plant yourself in the field that God has called you into. Many times we go places and even become involved, but never really belong into that field. I've seen that happen. People get involved in the church thing, but they still got going in their heart because they're waiting for an opportunity to be offended. You have to allow yourself to be attended to. Why? Because the word that you are being fed has to be word that you need so that you can develop strong roots. So that means you got to stay in a place where you can develop in spite of if it hurt my feelings or not. Because you won't have strong roots. And sometimes your feelings will be hurt. But the truth will make you free. Now let's go back to Mark verse 4 and look at verse 18 and 19. I'm going to say this several ways until everybody catch it, because it's important that those online and those in the room understand that you have to participate in your development. You have to participate if you're going to develop. Mark 4, verse 18 and 19. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word. And they got to hear another word. The word being taught, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. So what do we see here? You know, the Lord showed me something about this scripture in verse 18. Thorns were already present. They already had negative issues in their life. The word being taught is designed so it can get planted and rooted. Why? Because it wants to uproot the negative. But here's what so the word you hear from the pulpit has to be attended to. You can't dismiss this and say, well, Pastor Dan, the show taught a good message. And you never go back and study or rehearse and regurgitate it and listen to it over and over again. Sometimes for the register in you, you have to hear it 10 times. Because hearing it today, it's exciting, but it may not register where it needs to go. So the word you hear from the pulpit has to be attended. Why? Because you already got thorns and sticky brows. You already got issues inside of you. But you got to grow good roots and make them strong so they can become stronger than your sticky brows and your thorns. Oh, Jesus, somebody hear it. It says the word you hear from the pulpit has to be attended to and nurtured so that word can grow roots and become stronger in order to fight the already established thorns, because they got a root. They have a root system that's stronger than the word at this point that you're trying to plant. Because the word you're planting haven't had an opportunity to root yet. So you got an issue, be it sickness, money, relationships, children, spouse, or whatever. You got an issue that is already an established root. And the only way that's going to get fixed, you got to take the word, plant it, let it become rooted. It's almost like you got to ignore the sticky brows and the thorns in order to attend to the word. Why? You're trying to get strong roots. See, the thorns are the everyday cares of life, your failures that you've incurred, wrong teachings. Some of us have some wrong teachings. And we come into the understanding of the kingdom. Now we got to flesh it out. How do I flesh it out? I got to attend to what I'm hearing from the pulpit. See, what we try to do is try to go home and attend to another message we're hearing on TV. No, you're in this place. You need to attend to what you're hearing, because that's what you need to plant. See, God gave me what you needed so you can plant it. Not so you can add it to somebody else's sermon. That's the mistake a lot of Christians make. They can be in good word churches and never, ever plant what their pastor is teaching. Because they got too many people, too many farmers sowing. And they can't identify the seed of their pastor. But they say they're in the right place. If you're in the right place, then plant what your man and woman of God is sowing. Plant it. Because that's how you're going to develop. If you're on a potato patch, then you can't plant collard greens there. It doesn't grow in that field. If you believe you should be collard greens, you need to get out of the potato patch. Because the field, what that potato need, is getting what it needs to be a potato. And it's not the same thing for a collard green. Oh, Jesus. So the thorns are the everyday cares of life, the failures you've even carried, wrong teachers, etc. So if the gospel of the kingdom, when being preached to you, is not attended to consistently, say consistently. Consistency is the key to power. That word would be choked or strangled. Now, when I looked up choke and strangle, it's deliberate to choke something. You don't choke nobody by accident. So choking is deliberate. Mm. And that's what it says. It says, you would choke the word. So what am I doing? I am deliberately withholding what the word needs that will create roots. So I'm deciding something different to try to get roots from the word, but I'm actually attending the sticky briars and the thorns. Because the diet of the word is not the diet of the thorns and sticky briars. Mm. So you got to understand that choking is deliberate. It is deliberate. Say it's deliberate. That means I'm withholding what it takes for the word to root in me. Which means you will bear no fruit, thus having an outcome as though you never heard the truth. Hebrews 4 talks about after hearing the word, they didn't mix it with what? Faith. You got it. So here's one of the problems that I have seen in the body of Christ, and that is this. Many Christians feel that if they accept or agree with the word, that that word is supposed to work without them having to do anything else with that word. I looked up James chapter 2. You might want to write this one in your catalog, whatever you do. Verse 17. Because see, the devil trembles. He believes. You don't believe me? Look at James 2. I'm going to turn you there anyway. Look at verse 17. Even so, if it hath not works, is dead being alone. Yeah, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show you my faith by my works. That means by my participation, by my deliberately getting involved, because there is a follow-through action that shows you in faith. Mm. Thou believest that there is one God. He said, thou doest well. But guess what? The devil also believes and trembles. Oh, so you haven't done a whole lot. Just, now listen, you have to believe. But just believing and accepting the word as truth is not enough. It has to get into your spiritual digestive system in order for you to draw nutrients from it. You have to eat it like food. The last time you had a meal, you know what I'm talking about, right? You ate it. Not only because it tastes good, you needed nourishment. Oh. He says, look at verse 20. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is what? Dead. Was not Abraham, my father, justified by works when he had offered Isaac? So there was a follow-through. Say a follow-through. There was a follow-through action that showed God that Abraham believed what he said. And what was that action? He offered up his son. Oh, I'm getting happy if you're not. He says, when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar, seest thou how faith wrought with his works? And by works was faith made perfect or complete? The cycle. His faith was not complete without a corresponding action. And the scripture was fulfilled, which said, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. You see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. So the two must go together. Say the two must go together. Likewise, also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way? See, she believed them and she did a follow-through action. And the Bible said it was accounted to her as righteousness. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. So you're agreeing with the word is simply acknowledging that the word is true. However, to benefit from the word, it has to be planted and allowed to develop roots. Then a follow-through action has to be done to represent the word you planted. I have something that I buy. I don't buy it often because you don't need a lot of it. But it's called a plant booster. And whenever I'm getting ready to plant a new plant in the ground, or even when I'm transferring them from one part to another, I put that booster mixture in the dirt and stir it up. Why? Because in that mixture is the right amount of nitrogen and phosphorus that causes the stems or the veins of the plant to open up wider. You got to hear this one. So it can receive nutrients from the ground faster and easier. And you only use it in the planting stage. It's not a fertilizer you give them every 3 months. It's designed specifically to make the stems open up and so the water and all the nutrients can get up to the plant faster and easier. This accelerates the growth cycle. I got plants that's more than older than some of y'all kids. Because I used this same plant booster when I planted them in the beginning. And then they're like this. If you go in my front room, they sit in a pot, they look like this. And look like I just got them yesterday. And now all I have to do is keep watering them and periodically fertilize them with regular fertilizer. You're feeding them. And you put them in the right environment, they're very persnickety. They don't like to be moved. They like the temperature. Once they adjust to the temperature and their environment, they do not like to be moved. You got to know that about your house plants. Because you're going to kill them otherwise. Keep trying to put them in the room to decorate this room over here and over there. You're going to kill that plant. Put it in a room that where it can be stable. Woo, why? You're trying to accelerate growth cycle. Oh, Jesus. Anybody hearing? So if I was to plant this tomato seeds, I would put that plant booster in there. Why? Because this seed got to die first before and become one with the soil. Because there are no roots attached to the seed in here right now. So now I got to grow roots before the seed ever become a plant. What's in this package has to die to the soil and yield to it. Trust it. Believe that it's got its best interest at heart. And as it receives nutrients, what I see on this package will come up out of the ground. Mm. Glory to God. Anybody learning this morning? Hallelujah. Look at Colossians 3. Because you've got issues in your life when you come to the Lord. He understands that. But when the word is being sown, you got to grab hold of it and plant it. That's your assignment. And then you got to act like they're not even present. So the word can get stronger roots and begin to pull up the thorns and the sticky briars. That's the only way they're going to come up. They don't come up just because you wish them away, because you cry about them. You're going to have sticky briars and thorns forever. And if you're not careful, they're going to deliberately choke. Why? Because their root system is stronger than the root of the word right now. Because you're just now planting. How do I know when I got strong roots? Oh, you'll sense it on the inside. Because your language would change. What you eat change. What you think changes. Who you associate with changes. Why? You got a harvest coming. And that word is getting rid of all the stuff that will prevent the harvest. The deeper the word goes, the stronger the root becomes, the easier it is to pull up the sticky briars and the thorns. Mm. Are you at Colossians 3? Let's begin reading at verse 1. I'm reading from the Amplified. Therefore, if you have been raised with Christ to a new life, sharing in his resurrection from the dead. Oh, what I said to see, you got to die. You had to die too. Keep seeking the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set, that means put your mind in a position. Put your mind in a position and stay focused habitually. Stay focused habitually on what? On the things above. Not on the things, not on the thorns, not on the sticky briars, not on your issues. Not on your issues. If you learn nothing else today, you got to take your mind off of your issues if you want to get rid of them. You'll never get rid of them as long as you keep attending to them. Woo. He says, put your mind in a position. Lock it in place. Lock your mind in place and stay focused habitually on the things above and not the things on the earth, which have only a temporary value. These issues are only temporary. You can change them when your roots are strong. You can change them. No wonder Jesus said, if you have faith as a grain of a mustard seed, you can speak to your mountain. Why? Because the capability of the mustard seed is able to move the mountain. The faith that is in the mustard seed, but it has to be developed. Ooh, Jesus. He says, verse 3, for you died to this world, and your new life, your real life, is hidden. It's in the dirt. The new you is in the soil of you. God, here it is. The new you is in the soil of you. You don't know who you are until you finish growing. You think you know a lot about yourself, but it's based on the old you. He says, because the real you is hidden. Ah, Jesus. It's hidden with Christ in God. How am I going to get the real me out? When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. So now he's going to tell us how to do it. So put to death and deprive of power the even longings of your earthly body with its sensual, self-centered instincts, immorality, impurity, sinful passion, evil desires, and greed, which is a kind of idolatry. So to worship your problem is idolatry. So to sit home and worship your issue is idolatry. Because you don't get rid of it by worrying. You don't get rid of it by thinking about it. The only way to pluck it up is to get strong roots from the word. You can't get it another way. Why? Because thinking about your problem replaces your devotion to God. You can't serve two masters. You cannot do it. You're going to serve your problems or you're going to tend to the word. Now, you know, this is the scripture that this church was founded on, Romans 12, 1 and 2. So he's saying that, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. He said, it's a reasonable service for you to make this body attend to the things of God. The only reason you have a problem making your body attend to the things of God, because you haven't been rooted and grounded enough yet. You don't know where you belong yet. You come to a house, but do you belong to the house? See, that feeling of abandonment and loneliness and isolation, that don't come when you're rooted and grounded. You sense the love. People that's rooted and grounded in here, they sense the love, and they sense the camaraderie. They sense the family. They sense that when I'm going through something, I got people that care about me, that'll pray with me. If you feel like you got to be isolated, it's because you haven't made yourself a part of the soil yet. And that's done by the renewing of your mind. Now go to Galatians 2. I know I'm helping you this morning. And those online, don't get discouraged because you're reading the Bible more than you read all week. That's all right. You're going to be all right. Everybody's going to be good, okay? We're going to walk away better than we started out. I guarantee you, if you listen to this word, you're going to be better than you was when you got up this morning. Galatians 2, look at verse 20. Now here's proof that you had to die to the soul in Christ in order for you to be the fruit of his planting. He became the seed that was planted, and we are the fruit. You need to see this. We are the fruit. We are his harvest of his planting. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Why? Because my life is in him. My life flows through him because had he not become the seed and died and went into the soil, I would not be here. I'm alive because he's alive. Oh, see, that should have went off in you. I'm alive because he's alive. Had he not done what he did, none of us would be here today. He became the seed that was planted so that God could get a harvest called children. Woo, glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 That's praiseworthy. Hallelujah. 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 He says, nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I'm living in the flesh by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Therefore, I do not frustrate the grace of God. anger frustrated. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ died in vain. His death had no merit. If I'm going to continue to live like I don't know nothing about what he did. If my life is still showing the signs of the old, he's saying, I'm frustrating the grace of God. See, because you can change that. See, that comes from you planting what he left you. What did he leave us? His word. Oh, Jesus. So when you take his word and plant it, I'm planting him in me. See, first I'm in him, and I come out of him. Now I got to get him in me. Ah, oh, snap. Did y'all catch that? See, we come out of him. We are the harvest of his planting. But in order to get what he has promised you, you got to plant him in you. That's called his word. That's the only way you're going to get the benefit of the promise. Don't let nobody lie to you and think you can get it and do a shortcut. You got to do it by planting and rooting. Look at verse 20. That's another version. Okay. Let me read it from the Amplified. I have been crucified with Christ, that is, in him. I have shared his crucifixion. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith, by adhering, relying on, and completely trusting in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. So I do not ignore or nullify the gracious gift of the grace of God, his amazing unmerited favor. For if righteousness come through observing the law, then Christ died needlessly. His suffering and death would have had no purpose whatsoever if I could do it by the law. But the law could not bring righteousness. Getting ready to close in just a minute. Hebrews 2, 10 and 11. Go back and look at this lesson again and again and again. Go back and hear it by the Spirit of God. Hebrews 2, 10 and 11. For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things. Sound like they say. For whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons, say many sons, unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect or complete through sufferings. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. So what happens? When he is in me and I'm in him, we are what? Inseparable. It's like the seed, once it died to the soil, it is inseparable. You can no longer see the seed. All you see now is the plant developing. Your life should be intertwined with Christ the same way. Let's validate a little bit further. Romans 6, verses 1 through 14. I'm coming to a close, but I want to get this to you today because I want you to go home and meditate. What shall we say then? Shall we continue sin that grace may abound? See, a lot of people think grace is for their sinning. God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? That means we were buried into his death. When he died, you died. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death. See that? That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also shall walk like a new plant in newness of life. For if we have been planted, there's that fabulous word. If we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. So there's a commensurate action. When death takes place and you have yielded and he says, okay, death is over. Now the resurrection takes place. I should look different. My speech should be different. Why? Look at verse 6. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified. So I'm not supposed to be attending the old man. So when I keep attending the thorns and the sticky briars, I am attending the old man. The old man has died. Oh, Lord, help us, Jesus. Why? So that the body of sin might be destroyed. So if the old man is dead and I'm not attending him, then my body should do new things. Why? Because my body is going to follow the dictates of my soul. And as my soul is renewed to the things and ways of God, my body has to yield to my soul. It cannot stand alone. It has to obey the command of the soul. See, it's a whole chain. Everything is hinged on it. It's a whole complete circle. Everything about your life as a Christian is hinged on something else. And God is counting on us to finish the whole circle. So they said, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed. See, not trying to destroy your flesh necessarily, but the body that sinned. Transform that body into a tool of praise and worship. That henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead, he ain't sinning. He's freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Knowing, say knowing, that Christ being raised from the dead dieth no more. Death have no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. Watch this, verse 11. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. So I got to take my mind off of dead works. I got to lose a dead consciousness of who I used to be and what I used to do and how I failed and how I sinned. See, that's the devil's job to remind you of that so you can attend to it. Because he know that that keeps the sticky brows and the thorns alive. And the word is being choked. See, a strategist understand how you work. You need to learn how you work. He says, reckon yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's how you're going to live, is through sin, through the Lord Jesus Christ. Then look at verse 12. Let not sin, therefore, don't you allow it. Don't you allow it. Rob it of its power. Don't let it reign in your mortal body. See, because it got access from the soul. Now, what I got to do, I got to regulate my mind. That's why I said you got to put your mind in a position, lock it in, and become focused when you want to grow. When you really want to grow, you stay focused. You stay focused on growth. And you eat what is necessary to grow. You'll sleep. You'll rest. You're going to do some things. Your habits will change because you're developing. Your habits change. And then it says, neither ye or your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. So that means I can't let my hands, my eyes, my mouth, my feet, nothing about my body. I can't give way to it just because a feeling come. I might feel like cussing you out, but should I cuss you out? I might feel like arguing, but should I argue? Not when you're trying to grow and you focus on growth, because you know that kind of stuff is going to keep the sticky brows and the thorns alive. But when you lose sight of growing, it's easy to argue, easy to get upset, easy to want to fight, stomp your foot, tell somebody off. Easy to do when you're not thinking about growing. Woo, Jesus. And then you can always read Ephesians 3. Well, might as well read it. We're right here at it. Look at Ephesians 3, verse 19 through 21. Now we can go back and say to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Why? He's trying to get you full of him so that all the negative stuff that's been planted in you that already have established roots in you will be pulled. He says, the wheat and tare grow together. I know how to identify the wheat and the tare. You put my word in there and give it some roots. I know how to get rid of the tare. I'll pluck it right on out of your midst. See, we've been fighting the wrong war. We've been looking at our problem and trying to fight the problem. He said, no, you ain't got no root to fight that problem. That's why you keep losing. You're not strong enough to fight the problem you're trying to address. So you keep losing. And it's frustrating when you keep losing instead of staying focused and grow. Because in your growth cycle, God already provided to get rid of that. Oh, Jesus. Anybody learning but me? Boy, I tell you what, I was up for a moment when the Lord was showing this to me. I'm over there hollering and screaming, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you for the word. Thank you for the revelation of your word. Then it says in verse 20, now unto him. Now because you're rooted and grounded. And you're not shifting, and you're focused. He says, now to him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you ask or think, according to the power, say the power, that worketh in us. Now let me share something to you about that, then I'm getting ready to close. As long as you keep talking fear, doubt, and unbelief, you are watering the thorns and sticky briars, the weeds, and everything, and they have a stronger, more developed root system than the word you hear preached. Why? You are providing what they need to live. I receive. You are no more powerful or stronger than the root system that is already developed in you. And you got to identify, do the thorns have more root right now? Because I'm still developing the word. So I can't be messing with that mess over there. Because I don't have enough power to cause it to be plugged up. You know, like you got these battery phones and they show you your battery level and they tell you how much power you got left. You need to know how much power you got. So you don't be addressing every issue in your life. Let the Spirit of God tell you what you got enough power to pull up and address that issue. See, that's the power that's working. That is already developed and working in us. That's the only power that can be released into an environment, is the power that's already developed. And it will be released upon the situation as the Spirit of God gives you direction. Oh, man. So the ability to bring forth the harvest for anything is hinged on the power that is already developed in you. Hallelujah. 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 It's time for us to get our harvest. We're going to let this word get so deep that it can't be plucked up. And it's going to remove all the stuff that's been hindering us from our harvest. Hallelujah. Come on, stand to your feet.